If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
These questions run through his mind as he writes to the church at Thessalonica, a church that found itself struggling with accepting the message of the Apostle Paul. He teaches them, as he gets to the fourth chapter there, we'll call it a chapter, but it's not written in chapter verse, it's just a letter, and you find that even coming out of the starting block, starting to write to Gentiles, because he couldn't go everywhere, but he could write. And as he writes to them, he says in verse 3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, and that every Christian ought to know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor, not in the lust of concupiscence or the lust of desire, even as the Gentiles which know not God. He pulls at them to live a life of holiness, but he needs some ammunition. He needs something that would cause this modern believer to reach for something greater than their own discipline. I need something to motivate me to live right. I need something that will push me to live this life that the apostle is telling me. What could it be? What could it be? He's not yet confronted by church positions until he hears about Ephesus under Timothy. Under Timothy, Ephesus is finding itself exploding with people's desires to be bishops and deacons and all of the other things that go along with modern church work, because Ephesus is a church that's still under the impressions of Roman rule. So they're full of people who are arrogant and folks who are surrounded by a lifestyle that's totally ungodly. And when Timothy takes over the church there at Ephesus, he struggles with trying to teach them those principles. And somehow he reaches out to his apostolic father. And Paul's suggestion to him is quite succinct. Just preach the word, boy. Just preach the word. Just preach the word. Just, it's so beautiful in the Greek. It's keruso tan lagon. Just proclaim it. Just tell them. Don't exegete scripture. Don't use hermeneutics and homiletics. Just proclaim. Just keruso. Just say it, because it's the only power that's going to change people's lives. Just do it, just do it. But these Thessalonians seem to be slightly different. They don't seem to be able to grab hold of the simplicity of the instruction. And so it appears it's very interesting, that when Paul wants to introduce the eschatological truth of the return of the Lord, he does it in his first letter. When the people are not yet ready to receive the possibility, the probability of the return of the Lord, he does it in his first letter, and he tells them, after he encourages them to live holy, and even with the further encouragement of verse 7, for God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. And the devil wanted to get in and destroy holiness. He wanted to destroy it. And the way he did it was to make it about your clothes and your hair. But holiness is not about your clothes and your hair. Holiness has nothing to do with those things. Holiness is what you are to God. You are separated and clean for him to fellowship with. Holiness has nothing to do with your calling, your ministerial gifting, the length of your sermon, the octave of your song. Holiness has nothing to do with any of those external things. Holiness is a relationship connector. God inhabits me. That makes me holy. And because I'm holy, I can have fun with him. Because he's holy. You don't get it, do you? You're holy so God can fellowship with you. You don't get it, do you? And so Paul reaches into his spiritual understanding. And he says to them, I don't want you to be ignorant in verse 13 concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. I don't want you to become so morbidly sorrowful that it prevents your expression of joy. See, too many of you, when you run into a negative of life, you become overwhelmed with grief and you're not able to function because you're just so sorrowful. You just wear your grief. You come to church, you had a loved one die. I understand that for a moment you will be inconsolable, but my God, get over it. Move on. You don't understand. They've been in my life all my life. Okay, I understand that. I've lost people who were close to me. I lost the woman who bore me and the man who sired me. I know what it means to grieve. But I also know that grief can turn into bondage and keep you from living. And Paul says, I don't want you to be like that. I don't want you to be so sorrowful. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in him will God bring with him. So in other words, cheer up. I know I'm going to see my mama again. And I believe she'll be just as feisty as she was when she left. I think she's up in heaven telling Jesus what to do. And Jesus is saying, boy, hurry up and get up here. I can't take no more of your mama. I say, well, nobody told you to call her so early. You know I needed her now, especially if I'm a bishop. But no, you did what you wanted to do. Now live with the choices you make. We will see each other again. And for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. See, again, the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain when the Lord returns shall not prevent them which are asleep. So people in the grave are coming out before us. Lord, help me. I ain't preaching the second coming of Christ. Don't y'all start. He says, for the Lord himself, who? Who? See, it would have been enough just to say for the Lord, but he throws in the personal pronoun, himself. Let me explain something to you. Himself only belongs to great people. The champion of the boxing world, he can say himself. But not the number 10 contender, because he has not yet earned that right. When Jesus got up from the grave, he was now himself. And Paul says the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Why a shout? To call us together. He knows that we're going to be engaged in a lot of different things. And sometimes those physical engagements don't allow us to hear the inner voice of God. But when Jesus returns, he ain't calling us with an inner voice. He's going to have a shout. Now, you deep Christians will probably try to figure out what the shout is. But since I'm your pastor, I'm going to tell you what the shout is. The shout is your name. Whoever you are and wherever you are, at the same, let me show you how great himself is. At the same time, when he opens his mouth, he's going to say, Martin, Doug, Eric, at the same time. All of the names of his children at the same time. At the same time. He's even going to call the ones in the grave. And their resurrection is going to be so quick. See, we can't be changed until they're resurrected. But there's no time lapse between both actions, because we've stepped into eternity. So the moment they come up and their feet touch the ground, we are going to be changed. We don't hinder them, and they don't hinder us. And for a brief moment, we'll see everybody in Christ that died. You'll look over and see Pastor Smith. You'll look over and see Charles O'Miles. You'll look over and see A.A. Allen. You'll look over and see the great men and women of God that died in the past. Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody. You'll see them while we take flight. And who sits in the middle of all of this glorious chaos? Emmanuel. Emmanuel will sit in this glorious chaos with a smile on his face, like a father just giving birth to his first son, and pull all of us together. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Say, why does he need a trumpet? Because God does everything in decency and in order. In the Old Testament, they would blow the ram's horn to call people to assembly. When we hear that trumpet, we know we're being called to that getting up morning. Your name is called, then the trumpet sounds, and we out of here. Tell your neighbor, we out of here. Now tell them, I sure hope you're going. But if you're not, tell them, but if you're not, don't hinder me.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
7117P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.